Good afternoon, friends. Mr. Schumacher, prayer. Almighty and eternal Father, we enter into thy presence as a congregation to worship you in spirit and in truth. Thankful for the abiding presence of thy spirit and for its guidance into the understanding of thy living word, which moves forth out of thy mouth and has been directed unto thy people. Thankful for the preservation of the record of this word and the preservation of the Holy Scriptures, for the realization that we are the heirs of all these things which you have committed to thy household, because we are thy household in the earth. Thankful for the eternal nature of everything which you purpose to bring to pass, established forever, for thy household, thy kingdom, the spiritual center of thy kingdom, thy church. Aware in this hour of apostasy in this area of attack upon thy kingdom, that the true church and the true structure of thy household shall never be destroyed, for no power of darkness shall be able to eliminate it from its influence and from its destiny. Thankful, our Father, that in this hour of great need, that you will meet that need, because you are the omnipotent and omniscient God, with all power in thy hands and with all wisdom to bring to pass, knowing that you have declared that whatsoever you purpose to do, you shall bring it to pass. And we breathe thee this afternoon, and we breathe every word that has proceeded forth out of thy mouth. So we commit ourselves into thy hands as we meditate and worship together, praying that thy Spirit will grant unto us the conscious understanding of all the great and important truths that we should know. So charge us with the ability to carry out the purposes of thy kingdom until thy majesty and glory is revealed from one end of the earth to the other. So we say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then we ask it. Amen. This has been a rather eventful week in the identity of our times. Well, we've been told in the scripture that in the last days there would be a falling away first, and that this falling away would mark, of course, the climax of an age and the soon reestablishing of divine power by his own reentrance in the areas of the human affairs of his kingdom. I consider the position taken this week by the National Council of Churches in America as one of the great signs that we have arrived and have completed the falling away first. Well, I would say that only as hierarchies and institutions has the physical structure of the church failed and failed utterly in carrying out its responsibility. Of course, there are great numbers of listeners who might say, Dr. Swift, you cannot say that the church has failed. The Church of Jesus Christ will never fail. It's the eternal institution. It'll be here when Jesus comes. It'll be a ruling administrative body in God's kingdom throughout the ages to come. But I want you to know that the denominational hierarchies that make up the National Council of Churches in America have failed utterly. They have departed from areas of the faith. This very week, they announced that they were supporting a cessation of all hostility toward communist governments and called for an end of all bombing of the Vietcong and for a withdrawal of all of our troops, supporting the total policy that the solutions only lie in discussion and in conference, and we might learn something from the communists. Chief professors out of Drew University, which is a Methodist university in Madison, was bad enough when I was a boy. That university this week and its professors harangued the government for the prosecution of the war against the Vietcong, not because they didn't like the way we were prosecuting the war, not because we hadn't put in enough, not because we didn't attack to knock out the enemy, but because we were fighting communism anywhere at all. But in a day when communism threatens the whole structure of the kingdom of God as far as its capacities would enable it, when it has been the byproduct of the politics of the Antichrist to seek to destroy God's kingdom, and when the responsibilities of every intelligent Christian in this nation and throughout the world should be directed That's the bringing down of the whole political structure of the communist world to listen to the voice which is supposedly the oracle of God in the world, his churches, supporting the program of Antichrist. How much farther away can you fall? So in this past historic week, these apostate churches have gone on record as supporting the Antichrist. And I tell you, the time has come when Christians should leave every individual congregation that still remains attached to these bodies of apostasy. They should cease to support them. They should come out from among these areas of error and lift up the true standards of the Church of Jesus Christ. There is no doubt that this is one of those marked positions which gives excuse to all of the appeasers to say that in America the people are rising up, they want peace with communism, they no longer want to resist it. Make no mistake about it. The size of demonstrations that are occurring today by students from our colleges, communist-led, and by communist professors within the schools, does not produce the effect that the majority of people in these United States want to acquiesce to communism, but it demonstrates, my friends, that we are making a grave mistake in the conduct of our educational institutions by permitting these areas of influence to even affect our student bodies on our payroll. But I tell you that the responsibility for deterioration must first be laid at the doors where that responsibility is the heaviest, at the church as an institution. For if the church does not proclaim the advocacies of the program of God's kingdom, if it does not take a firm stand to influence the entire structure of the thinking of those that make up its parishioners, then, my friends, that society whose foundation must be built on its religious responsibility and its areas of its conduct will not only become weak, but it becomes the principal areas of the destruction of a nation. We have watched refugees infiltrate our land in violation of divine law. We have watched the enemies of Jesus Christ elevated to high positions of power because of the power of their thirst. We have watched Christians become even fearful to denounce the Jews for their evil because of the influence in the world of these powerful and rich enemies of Christ. But I tell you that weakness in government is bad, and deterioration in the structure of the political life of a nation is a sad sight. But when it occurs in the church, you have the reason why these things have come to pass. I tell you today that you have the assurance that it will be rectified because God is raising up a mighty and a powerful church for this climactic hour, and will move upon it with the power of his Holy Spirit to accomplish one of the greatest stirring awakenings and challenges of our time. And the impact upon your society that shall bring it out of its problems will be a responsible awakening by the church as a living oracle concerning the responsibility of a people to their God, to their race, and to their nation. When we told you last week the ingredients of the Bible, the structure of its revelation is God, the people, and the kingdom, that this is religion, race, and politics. Make no mistake about it, the coverage of divine instruction covers the entire facet of human living. Reach out to cover all areas of responsibility of a divine household that God hath planted in the earth, and brings us to a knowledge today that all the areas of deterioration that seek to break down the kingdom of God strike first at each and every one of these basic principles of the Scripture. They would deny the deity of God himself, or substitute a Babylonian concept of weak and broken theology. They would seek to deny the offspring of the Most High God and his family, and eliminate the people of the book from any influence in the structure of human affairs as a people. And they would seek to replace the concept of the kingdom of God in earth with a weak concept of spiritual influence in the sky when you die, but the world for anybody, and the political purposes of all things to be developed. Now there's something very vital that must transpire in the mind of the Christian, who, as we mentioned last week, studies to show himself approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. He must come to the realization that all the world order and all the programs psychologically and politically in the world order is diametrically opposed to his best interest and to the program of his God. Once you come to this realization and realize the Apostle Paul wants to give you such clear instruction that he tells you in his ministry not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that the most important transition that can occur in the consciousness of a people is to have the power of the Spirit of God through the acquisition of truth renew their minds to the things which they knew when their spirits were with him before the world was framed. And I tell you that we are dealing with eternity, with an eternal God, with an everlasting Father, and there will be no peace until, as Prince of Peace, his will and his way is supreme. I turn to this great and mighty passage in the ninth chapter of the book of Isaiah, where it talks about the embodiment of God, one of the great miracles of time in the fulfillment of divine purpose. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. People say, I don't want any government in my religion. But you've got a lot of government, my friends, that would destroy your religion if you didn't move the Spirit of God and the purpose of God back into it. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. I hear all day long about how we must uphold all democratic policies, that a democracy is our great political responsibility. I have no interest whatsoever in a democracy. I am concerned about this republic, which shall develop into theocracy when it's attained its ultimate goal. Now, there's a lot of politicians that don't worry about this. They say it's so far out in the future, or it's just an idealistic concept when you talk about theology, that we won't be concerned about this. And you know they're going to be met with a great surprise one of these days, because it's a lot later than they think. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. What are they talking about? What God is this? He's born into the earth as a child, but he comes with one identity. He comes with a purpose, and that's to eventually rule the world. But he comes carrying the identifying title of the Mighty God and the Everlasting Father. When I declared unto you that God, the people, and the kingdom are the theme of this book, the discovery of who these people are is one of the most important things you can know. I don't think we have much problem identifying God, though it may be hard for some people to break Babylonianism out of their thinking. And many of them have a hard time understanding that the embodied manifestation of God was the man Christ Jesus. That the fullness of God dwelt bodily in him, and beside him there isn't any other God. So, Dr. Swift, how do we know this? For a moment, let's turn over then to the book of Timothy. What in 1 Timothy is the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy to bring unto him some of the revelation which in his experience where he received his great apocalypse. He was taught again and brought back to him the mysteries of the universe. Talked about the times that were coming would show the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the blessed and only potentate, King of kings and Lord of lords. The blessed and only potentate, King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the only author of immortality. I turn to the book of Jude, And I give you the last verse in the book of Jude, one of the brethren of Christ. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. If this is the only wise God, I haven't got time for those that are not wise. But one that was not wise would not be God, for one of the qualifications of deity is omnipotence and omniscience. And there isn't anything he can add to that kind of wisdom. Our Lord Jesus Christ was the embodiment of God, and every knee that will not bow to that has no place in administration or government in the life of the civilization which you are a part of. One of the great problems we have today is the attempt to acquiesce, which is a part of the apostasy of broken theology, that we must be democratic, and democracy, as they interpret it, is the road to destruction. That I have to embrace all things, all peoples, all philosophies, all gods, and end up embracing slavery for us. I point out to you that we have been called to a higher way that produces a greater civilization, a mightier culture, and unlimited achievement. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, power, both now and forever. One day Jesus was talking with his disciples. He was making it quite clear concerning his areas of responsibility. And he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door under the sheepfold, but tries to climb up any other way, is a thief and a robber." Hear this now, the same as a thief and a robber. I want you to know all Jews are in this category. I want you to know all pagans of other religions who seek to deny God his identity are in this category. I want you to know you better close the doors of America to thieves and robbers. We've got enough over here already. You say, how do you know this is talking about Jesus? All right, let's go down to the 7th verse of this 10th chapter of John. And Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door." Now anybody tries another door, there are thieves and robbers. Don't you not very tolerant? No, I'm not about to be. Merriam-Webster once had a very fine definition for tolerance. He says it's putting up with evil and things that are not so good. And I'm tired of putting up with things that are ruining America. If our children are taught unswerving, solid truth built upon the declaration that comes out of the mouth of the living God, they're never going to be twisted or perverted in any areas of the future inside of their lives, whether it be by colleges under the government supervision or whether it be by the propaganda that comes in from the Antichrist's own voice. This is one reason why today one of our great responsibilities is to see that a positive truth is sent out which proclaims the truth of God, whether our enemies like it or not. This is why it must be born in instruction, both to our children in our schools and in our churches. For if a child is brought up in such truth, you do not have to worry. When he's old, he will not depart from it. And that's why you're here today. And as the truth expands and you are liberated from even areas of error that might have existed in that truth, you become more solid, and they say dogmatic, but I like something dogmatic because you don't swerve it. And I listen to theologians under the apostasy attacking dogmatism. They are attacking a position which is based on something God said that's irrefutable and does not move. But I'm also going to tell you that when the storms of attack come upon such a kingdom of stone, it's a dogmatic kingdom, but you can beat and beat and beat upon it, and that stone kingdom stands. And those that would attack it will be destroyed by it, and those that would seek to overthrow it will be ground by it to powder. The cry which rises to the heavens is, "O Lord, O Lord, how long?" God says it's about time now, my children. If we have an everlasting Father, then that's a very interesting work. It's a very important work. In fact, all through the structure of our theology, we've heard the word Father, and Jesus taught us to pray, Our Father, which art in heaven. Now we're talking about the people. I am vitally concerned that our race be reawakened with racial self-respect and with expanding consciousness to the fact that they are the people, and that's why they say Our Father, or else they apply themselves in fraud to every prayer. That one of the things that marks the father is his offspring. This is what fatherhood is. The ability to project an offspring and to have a progeny. This afternoon, to know that the Adamic race and the white race are the progeny of God and have higher responsibilities before God than any other people that exist in the universe is one of the most important transforming factors in the human consciousness. Someone said it will create within them a pride. It will create within them a responsibility that will cause them to stand like the aristocracy of God instead of being reduced to the masses of disintegration and dissent that we see around the world. God is not calling for an equalizer. The doctrine of the equalizer moves today out of the pit of perdition. The concept that we reduce everybody down to a least common denominator is Satan's dream to reduce the kingdom of God so it can't resist it and to pull it down in the muck and the mire. When the Spirit of God challenges a man, it does what the psalmist says. It lifts me up out of the miry clay and it places me on a solid rock, and I lift my face to God justified and say, Our Father, which art in heaven. The Scripture does not call for you to join in continual association with the deteriorating status or the lowest structure that you can find. It calls for you not only to separate yourselves, to be discriminating people under the guidance of God's Spirit, but it also makes it quite clear that you will be judged from the days of the Proverbs under inspiration to now by the association and the company you keep. If we were to follow the strategy of our time, even under federal education's deterioration, they're trying to bring to the consciousness from their kindergarten on, with their questions, with their probes, that if you prefer to live with your kind of people and you prefer to associate with the people out of your kind of a church, that you're biased and you're bigoted, and you must learn to associate with everything and everybody. This is the law of death. And the law of righteousness places values on association and teaches people to discriminate. Who are the people? When God Almighty divides even in the semantics of a household and a race and the areas of his revelation so it can be shown to the properly dividing students, we have the people which God is issue and he has peoples which God is creation. But all things were good until the way of evil sought by seduction and by areas of lie to set the wrong concept into the mind of residents. I'm not going to say human mind. There's only one race on the face of the earth this afternoon that is human. That's spirit men who are the offspring of God. Others are created with their capacities and with their responsibilities according to the areas of their creation. But when they serve the right God, all things are good. When they progress under the areas of God's program, there is great advantage and great blessing for them. There is not hostility existing in the program of God for his kingdom, but there is a coordination of spiritual power, wisdom, and creative force. When people get out of step with God, they're out of step with everything because all things are held together by him. The household of God are his own race. He refers to them throughout the writings of Moses, who he raised up to be not only a leader, to virtually stand as a prophet of truth and to be a teacher and to be, in the areas of his lifetime, one of the great men of history. He inspired Moses. He talked to Moses. He showed Moses many things. In the course of this declaration, Moses wrote about a holy seed. which God told him was the important thing. And from his concept of Genesis on down to the day that he ascended into the celestial plane, it was Moses' understanding of a holy seed being a divine issue. When you hear today an ecclesiastical attack upon the doctrines of Moses, which he received of God concerning the superiority of a people or a race, they are in many instances talking about something they don't understand. Or they say, we don't like the chosen people program, we don't like the idea that God had something special. But when they say that, they're just saying, we don't like the fact our Father loves us, our Father has selected us, our Father begat us, and to be a offspring of God, a son and daughter of God, is the highest possible capacity calling in all of time and history. This isn't an area of mental gymnastics. An evangelist sweeping across a national horizon like a comet, with a great vast press and with a coordinated program of gathering all the Christians that can get together in the same tent or in the same auditorium, does not by something he says transform the people that attend into the progeny of God. People do not become sons of God or daughters of God by something which they accept or reject. They become the sons and daughters of God by the activity of birth. And if there is not a holy seed, then there is no offspring of God. And if there is a holy seed, as the scriptures teach, then that people are God's sons and his daughters. And God said his issue ruining the earth, the word Israel, are his offspring. He said, you are a holy people. Now, if you have an everlasting father, there's something that's real interesting here. A quality of the nature of an everlasting father is the eternally living spirit, which synthesizes out of such a mighty God the universe, and is manifested even in his embodied form. For an everlasting father is the father of an everlasting people. For an everlasting spirit cannot, my friends, beget that which is destructible. That is the reason why the Father has given you the greatest of all gifts in posterity. He has given you eternal life. I want you to know the best thing that you can pass on to your children is the purity of race and of vision that helps to make up the stepping, developing structure of God's culture. I point out to you that you can look back over your forebears, Anglo-Saxon, Scandinavian, Nordic, Basque, Lombard, Germanic, Abrahamic, Israelitish, Adamic, and say, this is my genealogy. I thank God for that stream of life. And if you have no appreciation for the stepping stones of that line, and you do not remember your fathers back to the patriarchs, if you do not accept this, then, my friends, you have lost one of the most vital areas of wisdom and understanding necessary for men to walk upright, tall like the mountain. There are people today that do not possess the heritage which you have. They have come out of mixtures and mongrel backgrounds, and they do not produce the capacities and the leadership that build the civilization of God. It is the most unfortunate thing, because this is the sins of the fathers that descend upon the children generation after generation. There's nothing that you and I can do about this today except to preserve the purity of posterity. But I tell you that these people may enjoy someday the blessings that emerge out of the kingdom, but they can never participate in its administration. And thus, the seed line ends in its divine destiny as it relates as an administrative force in the kingdom of God with the mutation in the mongrel. When we talk about the people of God, God himself, speaking in the scripture, makes this very clear. You're the reps of the Apostle Paul when he said, come out from among them, be ye separate or segregated, and touch not the unclean thing. He's talking about the bodies of his people. Your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Their bodies are the temple of idols. Why? Because in the wrong developed into the culture, this is a part of the memory and experience, which in the chromatin is passed down as accumulated wisdom. Thus it is that around you are peoples out of Asia, out of Africa, an accumulation in the chromatin of memories of pagans and demons and devils. With the background that there are people worshiping this and joined to it. Be proud this afternoon that your forebears worship the eternal God. Over a passage of almost 2,000 years, they recognized he walked the earth as the man Christ Jesus. And that before that, they knew he was the eternal Lord of the heavens waiting for that messianic destiny. Because with this image pulsing in the structure of your spiritual capacities, your soul conscious abilities, and your brain capacity, you possess a value that is greater than can be received by any other procedure anywhere on the face of the earth. And the strange thing is that what I have just told you is not only biblical, but supported by such a weight of scriptures that this foolish area of theological deterioration taught by an apostate church today will find itself unable to defend itself against the Word of God. Sharper than a two-edged sword, it shall be a dividing factor to eliminate the area in your nation and to restore this nation on the foundation of its God-given heritage of the background of a people that can say, Our Father which art in heaven, and of a race whom God has preserved from Adam's day to ours. Again, we point out to you these words. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. If you're looking for the everlasting Father, you'll have to come to me. There isn't any other place to go. Some try to climb up by other pagan religions and other philosophies. Some wage war on Christ and serve Satan and call Jesus the devil. But Jesus said, I am the way. If you want to know the eternal God, then you must know the man Christ Jesus. If ye know me, ye know the Father. Now henceforth ye know him because you've seen him. I am the Father, Jesus said, the everlasting Father. And he had to be if Isaiah's prophecy was true. Philip looked at him, Lord, show me the Father and I'll be satisfied. Jesus said, Have I been so long with you, yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Do you want anything clearer than that? By the Jews, every time he proclaimed himself, took up stones to stone him. And the hour must come inside a Christian civilization when we eliminate the enemies of Christ from influence inside of our nation. If we drop for a moment back to those passages in Isaiah that are so vital again in this theme, For I am Yahweh thy God, I am the Holy One of Israel thy Savior, and ye are my witnesses, saith Yahweh. And not only the one I've chosen, that you may know and believe and understand that I am he, but before me there was no God, and there's not going to be any God after me, except just one thing, my family of Elohim. And they're my offspring. They're my progeny. That's why, again, the 82nd Psalm in the 6th verse, it says, Ye are Elohim, and all of you are the children of the Most High. We turn then again in Isaiah to the 44th chapter of Isaiah. where God declares, I, Yahweh, formed thee from the womb. And then in this declaration, he said, I will pour out my spirit upon thy seed, my blessing upon thy offspring. For thus saith Yahweh thy Redeemer, he that formed thee, Bela, by birth, by offspring from the womb. I am Yahweh. I made all things. I stretched forth the earth. I spread abroad the earth and all the heavens. Everything I did, it all by myself. This is pretty pointed that you are the children of the original and only God. He's made a lot of things, but he begat you. Ask your fathers, and they'll tell you. We turn again in the declaration of the 45th chapter of Isaiah. I made the earth. I put man on it. Even I with my hands, I stretched out the heavens and all their hosts have I commanded. The 12th verse of this 45th chapter. Now what about this 11th verse? Thus saith Yahweh, the Holy One of Israel, ask me of things concerning my Son. That is probably no greater area of favor or ability to understand than that which comes on the conscious thinking child. We can say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. This is a family prayer. Under the pattern of divine revelation, the eternal Father therefore declares, I am the way. On the revelation, angels came forth to say, He shall save His people. There's no question about the absoluteness, no question about the power. One remembers the words in Revelation, Thou alone, O God, art worthy. And all honor and all glory is given unto Him, the one that sat upon the throne. I want you to know this afternoon that the Bible teaches that the offspring of the Most High God are going to rise in the earth with knowledge and wisdom, with guidance of His Spirit, with technological ability, because this is the only way they can be adjusted to the environment they're in, and with creative power, because they adjust the elements of that environment for their convenience. It marks the sons of God as co-creators with their Father, their civilization above everything else on the earth, and their ability to be the have nations, because the Father bestows it upon them because of who they are, what they are, and what they do. You know, all of the equalizers in the world cannot divide up the blessings of God, scatter it all over the world, and equalize it. You get the front page of the United States News this week. Just take a look at the cover. You never know any farther. The whole world's in a mess, it says. Sure, it's in a mess. It says trouble everywhere, and they start in. Trouble in Europe, trouble in Africa, trouble in Asia, everywhere, trouble, trouble, trouble. They said the president has headaches in Africa, and he's got headaches in Asia now, and headaches with India. Why? I'll tell you why, because almost every procedure they have followed has been wrong. Because instead of abiding by the guide which we have for our race and for our faith, for the destiny of the greatest accomplishment of all time, the bringing of the kingdom, we permit ourselves to follow the fallacies of the world order and the program of the Antichrist, and the resulting condition brings upon us loss of achievement, loss of its advantages, and then permits the powers of darkness to come into the great nations of God's kingdom and interfere with your way of life. So is it with the kingdom of God? Wants to interfere with everybody else's life. This is my Father's right. Because He is the only potentate, the only almighty God. Someone says that sounds someday like there might be marching troops. That sounds like that our race will go all over the world and it'll rule that world. That's what it sounds like. Because we don't want any more super race. Who told you that? The Jews down here in Hollywood? I want to see sons of God stand tall, stand clear in their minds, stand with spiritual power and with the mantle of the Holy Spirit of their Father. That's what I want to see. So I said, well, not right. People talk the semantics to the enemy. If my Father has planned it, it's right. If he declared it, it's right. Now, I think they've had a pretty good chance, far too much time in America, because they're ruining the great speech. They're proving every day the faster they go, the farther they go, the go-go is going all the way down to destruction unless it stops. From a great nation, in a few decades, they're bringing us down to the squalor, they're bringing us down to the equality that they're talking about of the devil. So he said, how long is it going to take us to go back? A great spiritual transformation, a great awakening of our race is going to challenge the people, and we might go back in one day. But the route back is ahead. You know, we're never going to build that democracy they're talking about, but we're sure going to help bring in that theocracy that God promised. So he said, well, how is there going to be an improvement in the kingdom then when we bring in the political strategy of God, the theocracy? I'll tell you one reason why it's going to be an improvement. There'll be no citizenship inside of it to any that don't have the capacity to carry it through. But in that hour, you're going to think like God because you've got a spirit which is the spirit of God, and because, as the Apostle Paul told us, his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and this is our Father's kingdom, this is our inheritance, this is our responsibility, and we're going to rule and reign with him on earth. And the citizenship in the kingdom of God is going to be the household of God by the seed, by inheritance, and by race. So it wasn't really for the rest of the world, because the rest of the world never had it so good as to be ruled by the kingdom of God. The most important thing that you can get out of your mind is the concept that God wants everything equal. This is why he made so many diverging and different things. This is why a horse and an elephant do not have too much in common. I don't think that all of the policies of biologists, that all their attempted experimentation with life, are going to destroy both of these species by emerging something out of them by at least common denominator. Besides, everything God made for its purpose was good. And because you and I are down here in earth bodies, and the great work of his spirit reveals again, as he took Paul out to give him a special mission to come back and tell us what we forgot, that we, the children of God, are now down here in bodies of flesh, and that he placed us here to bring in his kingdom. He placed us here to develop the posterity of his household through the race which he planted, that they might be big enough and numerous enough to carry out the objective. That is what the Father planned. If you'll stop looking at yourself and trying to figure out if you're not the same as a Chinaman or the same thing as a Negro, why, you'll discover something. As long as people are trying to equate themselves with other similar shaped creatures, they obstruct the spiritual capacity of the spiritual seed content that's in them. Now stop thinking like earthlings, and start thinking like princes from heaven and sons of God. But this isn't a message for Africa, no, it's only a message for white people in Africa. Someone said it's not a good message for a Chinaman, it's a people for a white people among Chinamen. But oh, when a Chinaman understands this, he knows that God has better things for him than Mao Tse-tung. He knows that his way has produced death and slavery, it's produced ignorance and starvation, and this way produces plenty. I point out to you that it is this will and this way of God which is good. When we read that passage to you, the 82nd Psalm, ye are Elohim, and all of you are the children of Yahweh. Remember also this passage, which said, why do you die like men? Why do you, a divine race, fall like the princes of the world order? Because you've been trying to equate yourself down to their level instead of thinking as sons and daughters of God and climbing up to your destiny. If you are what you think, then you better think power and righteousness to attain its structure. For God is righteousness and justice in its highest area of performance. He is our everlasting Father, and we are His eternal children. And my destiny is linked with His throughout the ages to come. When I look across the world, I see and know that God has planted His seed, the children of the kingdom, and He's going to bring this to fruition. And that He means what He said when He said, all Israel shall be saved. And He means what He said when He said, all flesh shall be saved. Because the salvation of Israel and the salvation of the earth may be slightly different. One, to restore a people who are the offspring of God to their highest sonship and their highest heritage. The other, to restore people to the highest status to which their race is capable, to live in peace under God, to be blessed by the blessings of God, to serve the right God instead of darkness and evil. And when they look at our everlasting Father, they will not say our Father, they will say our God. I point out to you that this is a very marked and important position which men must understand. We are in a climactic period. We are in measures of time. Even Satan has his measures. Even his occultists have their measures. Even the programs of the darkness think that they've arrived at the right year. I want you to know that also in this timing, that it is the right year, and these are the right days, and tremendous events are ahead. We're not waiting for some time in the distant future. We are participating in now. You'd be surprised how when areas of darkness gain influence in governments, how they try to change its agencies to represent them. You'd be surprised how today there are more areas of power, officialdom, running around watching the Christians, keeping their eyes on the right winger, worried about the conservatives. And now with the apostasy of the fallen away church, it attacks war on communism and gives a status to the enemy that he's never had before. But I'm going to tell you something. The fact that they have to watch Christians and they have to watch those that know show that the thing the enemy is worried about more than anything else in the world at this moment is the truth that sets men free. It's the dynamic power of truth. If they can curtail it, if they can cut it off with television, press, or radio, if they can silence the church, if they can stop men witnessing, but they cannot. For this word will not only not return void, but the church is an eternal institution that all the powers of perdition cannot destroy. And out of it will come a dynamic into the kingdom of God, which your missionary activity and your vision helps to spread to every listener that you can catch his ear. Now let me tell you this. We have watched the miracle of God work. And we know that all you have to do is turn away truth, and as people think about it, they reach back and grasp for it. They are interested in truth, and we find very, very few people that stop to listen that do not turn to embrace truth and then move in actively to try to spread it. That's why you've reached people all over the world. That's why you're reaching people everywhere. That's why they know you're here. Because you're not something dead. You're something reactionary with a vitality of life that knows that there's an enemy in the environment. And out of this reaction comes the great revival of the new day. And it seems.